Well, if you have a Bible with you tonight, join me in turning to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. If you don't have a Bible, we have provided Bibles for you. They're in the pew racks, and you'll find Romans 12, 14 to 21, the verses we're going to be looking at on page 1206 in those pew Bibles. Paul writes, before we read it, well, let's go ahead and read it. I changed my mind. Follow with me, Romans 12, 14 through 21. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Repay no one evil for evil. In other words, somebody does something bad to you, don't in turn do something bad to them. Do you believe that's a good way to live? Do you believe that? Do you believe that that's the way you ought to live? That's the way we ought to live? That's the way we live in a way that honors the Lord? Do you really believe it? Is that what we practice? I say I believe it, but then I think about who my TV and movie heroes are. All right? They didn't seem to practice that. In my younger days, John Wayne, Clint Eastwood, they weren't exactly known for turning the other cheek. You know? They didn't really play roles where they would do that. They always got even. And in more recent days, more recent years, men like Kiefer Sutherland, who plays Jack Bauer in the 24 series, or Matt Damon, who played Jason Bourne in the Bourne trilogy. Again, not exactly guys who were known for turning the other cheek, just kind of going along to get along. Of course, I did like David Carradine and Kung Fu. Some of you are old enough to remember that TV series. Some of you are not. I mean, he played this Chinese fellow who was in the West, and his name was Kane, and he always did try to turn the other cheek. But eventually, he was pushed too far, or he had to defend somebody else. And I have to confess, I always liked it when he beat the snot out of somebody. So I have to ask myself, do I really believe that what the Lord says through the pen of the Apostle Paul is the right way? Do I really believe that I should repay no one evil for evil? That's the way we're to live? Or as Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I do believe it. I just want to work on honoring that and obeying this. I want to desire in my heart not to get revenge, and if somebody does bad to me, not to want them to have bad done to them. I want to learn how to overcome evil with good. That's what I want, because that's what the Lord wants for us. And we're going to look tonight at how we can do that. How can we overcome evil with good? And there are four statements. This is going to be very brief. I probably shouldn't say that. Every time I say that, it's longer than I think it is, think it will be. But my intention is that this is going to be brief. Four statements that hopefully we can take with us and meditate on, and maybe even put into practice. But before we do that, I would like to pray. Heavenly Father, We confess that our ways are not always your ways. Our thoughts are not your thoughts. Lord, as for those of us who call Jesus Lord, who trust him as Savior from sin and seek to follow him as the Lord, the boss of our lives, Lord, we do desire that our lives would be characterized by obedience to your will as revealed in your word. Lord, we pray that you would work by your Holy Spirit through your word to increase our desire, especially in this area that is so unnatural to most of us, that we would not repay evil for evil, that we would not even desire to do so, but that we would choose to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would choose to follow your will and your word for our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So how to overcome evil with good? First of all, by treating both those who are friendly and those who are not alike. By treating those who are nice to us and those who are not nice to us alike. By desiring good and doing good to them. Paul writes in verses 14 through the first phrase of verse 16 this: bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. So, Jesus again taught us not only to bless those who persecute us, but to pray for them, right? To do good, to desire good for them. It's easy. I've often said this, and it's true. You'll identify with this. It really doesn't take much work. It doesn't take any grace to be nice to those who are nice to you, right? The people who are friends, the people who are always treat you nice, always agree with you. I don't know who that would be that would always agree with you. But anyway, the people who are agreeable, people who are nice, it's pretty easy to bless them, right? It's pretty easy to rejoice when they rejoice and to mourn, to weep when they weep. They are our friends. Our hearts are knit with them. And so it really doesn't take any grace. Where the grace is needed is to bless those who persecute us. And to rejoice with those who rejoice who don't like us, who aren't nice to us, or to weep with those who weep, again, who are not our best friends. But would that not be a witness? Would that not be a demonstration of God's love working out in us, in our hearts and lives, if we truly rejoiced with people that we have a hard time with when they're rejoicing? Now, there is only so far that we can take this. The scripture says that love does not rejoice with evil, right? We cannot rejoice with those who are rejoicing in evil. There is a limitation to this. But even those who are not maybe friendly towards us, if they have something good happen and they're happy about that, we should rejoice with them. Would that not speak to them about the work of Christ in our lives, the love of Christ? Not to build us up, but as Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we overcome evil with good by treating those who are friendly to us and those who are not alike. We bless them. We rejoice. We weep. We seek to live in harmony with all. Secondly, we overcome evil with good by not seeing ourselves as qualitatively different from others. Paul writes, "Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight." We have a tendency to think that we're just a little different, all right? If something bad happens to someone else that doesn't happen to us, we think, well, they probably deserve that. Well, maybe you don't, all right? We have a tendency to think that we are harder working, we're better neighbors, we're more law-abiding, we're more deserving of good things than others are. Because we read about these people in the paper. We hear about them. We, you know, the things that they're doing, the things that, and so we think, well, you know, we're not like that. And maybe we're not doing those things. But we, just like they, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's somewhat comical to me that survey after survey shows that a vast majority of Americans, far more than 50%, it's upwards around 80% or so, of Americans put themselves in the top 10 to 20% in terms of intelligence. Everybody's in the top 20%, right? I don't know how that could be. But it just goes to show we have a tendency to think that we're different. We're a little bit. You remember what we read a few weeks ago from 1 Corinthians 4, 7. "For who sees anything different in you?" Some translations say, "For what makes you differ from others? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" By not seeing ourselves as qualitatively different from others, it enables us not only not to be haughty, to be wise in our own eyes, but enables us to associate with those that maybe we would rather not associate with. People of a different socioeconomic class, people of a different ethnicity, people with different values. We overcome evil with good, though, I believe. Paul says, "Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight." When we do not see ourselves as qualitatively different, maybe I should say better than others. The third way we overcome evil with good is by seeking peace with everyone. And when we can't have peace, by trusting God for justice when others will not have peace. This takes up the bulk of this passage. Beginning verse 17, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For so by doing, you will heap burning coals on his head." So as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, with all. And I've said this before, that means, my uncle used to say this, you know, the scripture says, you know, as far as it depends on you. In other words, you know, I can only go so far. That's as far as I can go. I've gone as far as I can go. I'm not going any further. That's not what it means. I've reached my limit with that guy. That's not what that means. What it means is, don't you be the source of conflict. Don't you be the source of division. If there's going to be conflict, let it come from the other person, not from you. There's going to be division, let the other person create it, not you. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. We should go out of our way to make and keep peace. Not exactly like this. A letter to a neighbor. Dear Frank, we've been neighbors for 6 tumultuous years. When you borrowed my tiller, you returned it in pieces. When I was sick, you blasted rap music. And when your dog went to the bathroom all over my lawn, you laughed. I could go on, but I'm certainly not one to hold grudges. So I'm writing this letter to tell you that your house is on fire. Cordially, Bob. So that's not exactly what is meant there. Live peaceably with all. But more like this. Author Leonard Sweet shares a personal story. He writes, Tom Wiles served a stint as university chaplain at Grand Canyon University in Phoenix, Arizona. A few years ago, he picked me up at the Phoenix airport in his new Ford pickup and whisked me away to keynote a leadership conference at the university. Since I was still mourning the trade-in of my Dodge truck, we immediately bonded, sharing truck stories and laughing at the bumper sticker truism, nothing is more beautiful than a man and his truck. As I climbed into his 2002 Ranger for the ride back to the airport a day later, I noticed 2 big scrapes by the passenger door. What happened here? I said. My neighbor's basketball post fell and left those dents and white scars, Tom replied with a downcast voice. You're kidding. How awful, I commiserated. This truck is so new, I can smell it. What's even worse is my neighbor doesn't feel responsible for the damage. Rising to my newfound friend's defense, I said, did you contact your insurance company? How are you going to get him to pay for it? This has been a real spiritual journey for me, Tom replied. After a lot of soul searching and discussions with my wife about hiring an attorney, it came down to this. I can either be in the right or I can be in a relationship with my neighbor. Since my neighbor will probably be with me longer than this truck, I decided that I'd rather be in a relationship than be right. Besides, trucks are meant to be banged up, so I got mine initiated in the real world a bit earlier than I expected. I'm not sure that's how I would respond in that situation, but it might go a bit further than our natural response in developing a relationship with a neighbor. When others do us wrong, not only do we need to not repay evil for evil, we need to trust that God is greater, is a greater avenger of wrong than we could ever be. Listen, no injustice will ever go unpunished. That's true. Now, it may be punished in eternity, or it may have been punished at the cross. See, we like to think that the injustices of others deserve eternal punishment. And they do, but so do ours. But the scripture teaches that Jesus pays for all of the injustices for those who trust him. We need to trust that God will avenge, either at the cross or in eternity. The last thing, the last way that we, and the most important way, that we can overcome evil with good is by looking to the gospel and the cross of Christ to enable us to accomplish this. You see, the gospel is the greatest picture of not repaying evil for evil. It's the greatest example of loving the unlovely ever. The gospel reminds us of how patient God was and is with us. How are you doing today? I'll tell you how you're doing, better than you deserve. Because the Bible teaches us that we deserve wrath. We have earned it. As Pastor Greg prayed, the wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The gospel reminds us of how patient God was and is with us. And we are called to do likewise with others. The gospel's way, we refuse to be wise in our own sight. It leaves no room for pride or refusal to love as God first loved us. There's no room for pride at the cross. There's no room for us to feel better than anyone else. All have sinned. Paul writes in Romans 3 that we have shut up all under sin. The only way out is through what Christ has done for us on the cross. The gospel enables us sincerely and lovingly to share in others' highs and lows, knowing that every good that comes to anyone is a result of God's grace. God is gracious. He sends rain to whom? The just and the unjust. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. So when others are rejoicing, whether they are friend or foe, we should rejoice with them. And when they are grieving, we should grieve, knowing that we all suffer in this sin-cursed world. Then finally, the gospel tells us, as I've already said, that there is a judge, and he can be trusted to make all things right. He and he alone can be trusted to make all things right. So, how do we overcome evil with good? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one, evil for evil. I added a few no ones in there. But give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Father, how gracious, loving, patient, kind, merciful you have been and are to us. Lord, would you make us a people who are like you, like our Father in heaven. Lord, would you remove from us any spirit of vengeance, any spirit of desire to get even with people. Lord, would you make us like Christ? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.